and breads, pastries, and coffee. More information can be found at pearlbakery.com. Lunch was provided by Horse Brass Pub, located at 4534 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. Open from 11 to 2 a.m. serving British and pub grub. More information can be found at horsebrass.com. Dinner was provided by DiNicola's, located in the Creston Kenilworth neighborhood at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. DiNicola's authentic Italian restaurant has been a family-run Portland institution for over 40 years, serving Italian cuisine and pizza, open daily from 4 to 9 p.m. or later. For information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
That's right. You can go to kboo.fm, click on the donate button, become a member today, or call that number, 877-500-5266. What's that number again? Oh, it's 877-500-5266. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. It is our fall membership drive, and today is News and PA Day. Coming up next on KBOO is the KBOO Evening News, a volunteer-produced news program that is supported by your membership. So call that number, 877-500-5266. Keep great stuff like this on the air in Portland and all over the world.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. A man shot himself with his own gun at Portland's PDX airport as he and a Portland police officer struggled over the gun.
A second Oregonian has died from a vaping-related lung illness. This raises the national death toll to 13.
President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, recently canceled a scheduled paid speaking event where Russia President Vladimir Putin would be in attendance.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, September 27th, 2019. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Claire Rosciato.
And I'm Jezaniah Hawthorne. This morning at the Portland International Airport, a man shot himself with his own gun while struggling over the gun with police. While many details have yet to be released, what is clear is that the unidentified man was at the baggage claim when Port of Portland police approached him. The man then pulled out the gun, and both the officer and man fought over control of the gun. Officials say that the injured man is expected to survive, and the officer struggled minor injuries. No flights were impacted by the incident. The most immediate responsive actions taken were closing off parts of the baggage claim area and the lower level roadway, with exceptions for taxis, rideshares, and shuttles.
In the wake of Oregon's second reported death from a vaping-caused illness, Oregon health officials are urging Oregonians to stop vaping immediately. The second victim of this ongoing health scare purchased and smoked cannabis products from a licensed retail store. The person fell ill and was hospitalized for multiple weeks, which is similar to the first reported death in Oregon linked to vaping. According to the victim's doctors, there were no contributing health conditions outside of vaping that could have caused the person's death. The Oregon Health Authority's health officer, Dr. Jean Seidlinger, has come out saying, quote, "If you vape, whether it's cannabis, nicotine, or other products, please quit. There are additive substances, and we encourage people to take advantage of free resources to help them quit," end quote. It appears Oregonians may already be listening. According to the cannabis industry, vaping sales in Oregon dropped 62% in September. Federal officials are currently investigating what specifically out of all of these products consumed is causing these illnesses and deaths.
A group of protesters rallied downtown this morning to urge Oregon Senator Ron Wyden to sign on to Medicare for All. KBOO's Althea Billings and S.J. Oxendine have the story.
While Senator Ron Wyden was speaking at a Portland Business Journal event, protesters gathered in front of the downtown Hilton to ask him to endorse Medicare for All. Debbie Schwartz with Healthcare for All Oregon Action was one of the protesters on the scene today.
I'm here today because everybody needs and deserves healthcare, and healthcare is a human right. The only affordable and just way to provide healthcare for everyone is to make it a universal system in which everybody is included in the same risk pool, and that is Medicare for All. The current Medicare has a less than 2% overhead when they produce health insurance health coverage, whereas private insurance companies have 15 and 20%, and the Trump administration is allowing them to profit even more money. We need our dollars going towards health care, and we need Juan Ryden to realize that. Senator Merkley, Representative Blumenauer, Representative DeFazio, and Representative Bonamici have all signed on to Medicare for All bills, but Ron Wyden refuses to do so, and we're here to ask him to.
Adam McBride-Smith with the Democratic Socialists of America explained that Wyden is a particular target because of his sources of funding.
Well, we know why he's not signing on. He receives money from the private insurance and big pharma industries. He's received something around $3.2 million, according to Open Secrets. It's dirty money. It's legal bribery. He makes up excuses for why he won't support Medicare for All. None of them are correct. They're just outright lies. He talks about, he'll say, for example, that labor doesn't support single payer, doesn't support Medicare for All. Well, we're hosting a massive labor for single payer conference here in Portland, October 18th through the 20th. There will be a rally in Pioneer Square on October 18th, and labor will be out in force showing its support for Medicare for All.
Protesters urge supporters of Medicare for All to call Senator Ron Wyden's office to let him know of their position. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Althea Billings.
In today's edition of 2020 Talks, there are farmers who have been hit hard by President Trump's trade war with China. Though some farmers are willing to risk profits in order to hold China accountable. For more on this, here is 2020 Talks.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
The productivity of our farms are amazing, and we've helped keep the markets alive through exports. You know, that's something that we've come to depend upon.
That was Seth Watkins, owner of Pinhook Farms in southwest Iowa. Farmers have been hit hard recently by President Donald Trump's trade war with China. This week, though, an interim trade deal with Japan to lower tariffs on beef and pork might give relief to some farmers and ranchers. This deal is a significant step, according to the nonprofit Farmers for Free Trade, who called for more, quote, trade wins, not trade wars, unquote. Clearly, the president's trade policy is key to the Hawkeye State agricultural voters. Here's Story County Republican Party Chair Brett Barker.
Japan's a really important trading partner for the state of Iowa.
But China is still an important trade partner, too. Barker said that despite difficulties in exporting right now,
folks are willing to give some time to hold China accountable because in the long run they know it's important. But obviously they're an important trading partner, too, so hopefully there will be some resolution to that. But there have been a lot of positive moves in trade, especially with Canada and with Mexico and with Japan.
Iowa Farmers Union President Aaron Lehman said there needs to be a better approach than back-and-forth tariffs to holding China accountable for its trade violations, one that involves worldwide trading partners making reasonable demands.
That way we won't be putting farmers as the most vulnerable people when the trade negotiations get tough.
Meanwhile, the Iowa Democratic Party is still working on a plan to make the Iowa caucuses more accessible to people who couldn't previously participate, like shift workers, people with disabilities, people serving overseas, and students. This happened after the DNC rejected their caucus by phone proposal, saying it wouldn't be secure enough. They now propose adding what they call satellite caucuses in addition to precinct gatherings at places like factories, group homes, or out-of-state locations for people who would normally vote absentee in a general election. Contrary to the normal next step, where each of Iowa's 99 counties has its own convention, from which delegates then go to the state convention and then the national, the satellite caucuses would feed into just four so-called county conventions, and they could be far from people's homes. University of Iowa professor Douglas Jones, an expert in voting technology, isn't convinced the new plan fosters real participation.
They get their totals reported in the statewide delegate counts, but then how many people from the satellite caucus who are elected as delegates actually go to that fictional county convention and engage in any politics?
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Radhika and Janka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Good morning. This is Radhika over here.
Evening. It's morning someplace.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's definitely evening. Sorry about that. But
unless you're listening, you know, somewhere across the ocean, it could be morning.
Which you certainly can be with our web listening. So we're listening to the news right now, in-house produced at KBOO. We're trying to be more informed about the issues with our public affairs programs, and we're trying to stay ahead of mainstream media. And when you contribute to KBOO, you are supporting that. We're talking about issues that often get ignored, from environmental issues. We talked even about beavers, and now we're bringing ourselves to the news here.
You know, the KBOO Evening News is incredibly valuable, and I hope that you appreciate the value of having local reporters on the scene at a time when many newspapers have cut the local reporting, TV stations have cut their local reporting. KBOO News has taken in so many volunteers, even professional reporters who have come to KBOO because they haven't been able to work in the industry, or they're unhappy with working in the industry because of not being able to report what's really going on. You hear the local report from the protesters in the streets this morning at Ron Wyden's event. That is because our reporters went out with field recorders paid for, field recording equipment paid for by our members, and are able to bring you this locally produced news because we have listeners like you that took the stand and said, yes, I'm willing to put $5 a month on the line to produce local news in my community. That's all it takes. You call the number, you set it up, and you become a part of this amazing phenomenon and this incredible resource. The number to call is 877-500-5266. That number is 877-500-KBOO. My name is Jenka. I'm so glad to be here with Radhika, our new membership director, taking a stand for freedom of information on the airwaves.
You know, what I really like about KBOO is that we're a relief from the silo mentality of our mainstream media. I'm not just hearing the same thing over and over. I'm hearing different perspectives, local perspectives, and our members are what makes that happen. 80% of our funding does come from members, so I'm asking you right now to call that number. We're thinking 877-500-5266. I've got lovely volunteers behind me just waiting for your call, waiting for you to contribute and put your money back to where you believe in.
Maybe you've been listening to KBOO for a while, but you aren't a member. You thought maybe we're talking to someone else or other people will foot the bill. But guess what? This is a community effort, and we are working with your support. The only way that this station continues year after year for 51 years is because our community members hear this, us coming to you a couple of times a year, and actually respond. And we want you to respond right now. Tomorrow, our drive is ending. Our membership drive is ending, and we need your support in order to reach our goal for this drive. Can you give $10 every month for KBOO? Can you just sign up to do $10 a month for KBOO? You can cancel it anytime, but all you need to do right now is just sign up and say yes to community media right here in the Portland area. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Don't wait. Don't put it off any longer. It might slip your mind later. Just pull over from wherever you are on your car, your bike, or whatever form of transportation you're using, and just take a couple of minutes. 877-500-5266.
One way to fight climate change: end the tax breaks for dirty energy. That's the idea of one Oregon Democratic lawmaker. KBOO's Annette Newell got this exclusive interview with U.S. Senator Ron Wyden today about what he's doing to fight climate change.
Today happens to be Climate Change Day at KBOO.
Yeah,
so,
good.
So I know this is completely off topic of what you came to talk about here. So I just wanted to get you to bring us up to date about some of the things that are going on with climate change in Washington right now. And what are you hopeful about possibly passing?
Well, of course, the Trump administration is four square against anything. But we are operating under what I call a climate emergency. I mean, if you look at the figures from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric, you know, Agency, this is very, very real. And I'm so glad all the young people are mobilizing now, because if ever there was a group that had standing to deal with this, it's them. In particular, what I'm working on as the senior member on the Finance Committee, Democratic, senior member, is there are 44 separate tax breaks on the federal books for energy. And most of them are monuments to dirty fuels from yesteryear. You know, you had the fossil fuel crowd, so powerful, and they were able to just come on in and get practically anything, you know, that they wanted. I have proposed throwing all 44 of them in the garbage can and substituting for the 44 three, one for clean energy, one for clean transportation fuel, and one for energy efficiency. And that way what we'll say to the Republicans and the conservatives, and I've begun these discussions already, hey, you're always saying you're against subsidies. You've always said that you want a more efficient energy market. This gives us a chance to have more green for less green.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you just alluded to all those young people, millions of them across the world coming out, and it all started with Greta and her one-person protest in front of the Swedish Parliament, which is amazing. Did you see her speech at the United Nations?
What
did you, and she said, how dare you?
I thought it was inspiring, powerful, and very passionate. I will tell you, I think what the Oregon plaintiffs have said in the lawsuit is just as powerful and
the
passionate.
Juliana case.
Yeah, they didn't get as much publicity, but they're sure speaking for, you know, our children. My wife and I are older parents of twins that are 11, a little one that's 6. And I'm really proud of the Oregon plaintiffs who are speaking up.
In the Juliana case, which is going through the federal court system, do you think that it seems like it's had 9 lives already. A lot of folks, a lot of the experts said it wasn't going to go this far.
I think so far people have been surprised how well the case is doing, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be one of their prime advocates, and I'm part of the proceeding.
I just came back from a conference in Michigan where I was talking to some scientists about global warming in the sense of what's happening to the Great Lakes, and I also asked them about the blob, the new blob in the Pacific, a warming area. What are you hearing about that?
And I'm very concerned about it, and certainly it reflects this throwaway society where there has continually been a kind of, you know, spend and enjoy now, throw everything away and think it'll have no consequences. So we're also looking at the Finance Committee at some new policies to encourage recycling and better use of materials to prevent that in the future.
Yeah. Of course, about 4 years ago in 2014 is when they had the original blob, and this one looks pretty similar, maybe even a little worse. And in that one, it was like a disaster for the fisheries.
I think the consequences for the planet are enormous. As you know, China has stopped taking our materials. So this is going to continue unless we come up with some homegrown kinds of more energy efficient alternatives. And that's what I'm working on.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
we really appreciate it.
That's U.S. Senator Ron Wyden talking with KBOO's Annette Newell today.
Electric cars have a fan on YouTube. Robert Llewellyn has been producing programs on electric vehicles since 2010. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. and this is Climate Connections. For years, Robert Llewellyn hosted a British TV show called Scrap Heap Challenge. Contestants created monster trucks, flying machines, tanks, and other vehicles out of materials found in a junkyard. These days, Llewellyn is targeting a new type of gearhead. His YouTube show, Fully Charged, is about electric vehicles and the future of clean tech and transportation. He started it in 2010 because he was frustrated by how he saw EVs portrayed in the media.
They said electric cars will never work and the cars will just wear out and be useless.
But Llewellyn says over the past decade, these critics have been proven wrong. And as people's attitudes about EVs have evolved, he's been able to do more than test drive and review EVs on the show. Now he also covers more advanced topics.
All the sort of associated technologies that go along with it, the charging network, the way we store energy using batteries, the way batteries have developed in the last 10 years is really remarkable.
The YouTube channel now has more than 500,000 subscribers, with thousands of new subscribers each week. He says its popularity shows that people are excited to learn about EVs and get behind the wheel. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
It's not just Rudolph Giuliani's cable news rants that are getting him in trouble. In the upcoming week, President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, had scheduled to make a paid appearance at a Kremlin-backed conference that President Putin will be in attendance. In a recent update from the Washington Post, Giuliani canceled his visit later this afternoon. On October 1st, Giuliani was set to speak at a Euro-Asian Economic Union conference, uniting countries that support Russia, including Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. The Post describes this meeting as, quote, the brainchild of Putin and was created out of Moscow's fear of the so-called color revolutions that spread across former Soviet Union countries, end quote. Giuliani's intention to attend the event has raised alarms from the Trump administration workers and former officials. The Washington Post reports that Giuliani was the only American listed speaker. A former State Department official responsible for Russia and Ukraine during the George W. Bush administration, David Kramer said, "It's terrible judgment for the president's lawyer to attend this meeting. He is lending credibility to an organization Putin set up as an alternative to the European Union. This will further confuse people on top of the havoc he has already created for Ukraine."
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Radhika and Jenka to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, it's Radhika over here at Membership Central. We're asking members to go to their phones right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm to become a member. Like I said, I'm Radhika and I'm joined with Jenka here, and we're excited to tell you why it's important to support the evening news here.
You know, if you listen to KBOO, you value getting news from many perspectives, including voices that aren't heard in other stations and in other outlets. And you're getting that on KBOO because this is a community-based newscast. We have been hearing about how to mitigate the impacts of climate change throughout today on the News and Public Affairs Day with policies and beavers. And just now we're hearing about the electric cars and alternative energy. And you hear about that on KBOO because we're not just devoted to telling you news that will disempower you. We're devoted to telling you how to get empowered, how to get involved, how to engage in civic action. This is empowerment radio. This drive, we're calling Mike to the People. And right now we have a special offer. If you give during News and Public Affairs Day, if you do a $10 a month contribution, we'll get you a copy of Naomi Klein's new book, On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. That's just a $10 a month contribution to KBOO. Absolutely worth it. When you think about the impact of this newscast on the community, it actually addresses the issues that are at hand and makes change right here at the city level, the local, the state level, and the national level because of humans coming together in order to address the issues that we face. Call right now, 877-500-5266. 5266. Contribute to empowerment radio, not listening to disempowerment media.
And you know that being informed helps you navigate your world around you better, and it helps understand what issues are affecting our community. The KBOO Evening News is a tool that you use every day to engage in these topics that have this personal impact. Now more than ever, your investment in the KBOO Evening News ensures fearless reporting, thoughtful questions, and relevant local investigations. Take a moment now and show your support for the news that matters. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm/give.
And I would encourage you to do that $10 a month contribution. You've got your phone in your hand. And all you need to do is go to that phone app and press these numbers in. 877-500-5266. You can keep the radio going so you can hear it as you type it in. 877-500-5266. This is an incredible book making the case that we will rise to the existential challenge of climate change only if we're willing to transform the systems that produce this crisis. Call right now, get your copy, and get your contribution to KBOO counted. 877-500-KBOO.
Millions of fish could be saved by a proposed new requirement for fishermen to use descending devices. A recent assessment found that over one quarter of red snappers died after catch and release. Trimmel Gomes has more on this story.
Fisheries of the deep will now have a better chance of surviving the hooks of fishermen thanks to a new rule requiring descending devices on boats. The South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council approved a new rule requiring fishermen to have ready-to-use weighted tools to keep deep-water fish from dying of the bends during catch and release. Jessica McCauley is with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and chairs the Fisheries Council. She says they've been working on this rule for a couple of years with Gulf states and other organizations to test devices and educate the public about how useful they could be.
This is for snapper grouper species in order to reverse the effects of barotrauma, which is what happens when you bring a fish up from depth and their internal organs are distended or sometimes sticking out of their mouth.
A recent South Atlantic stock assessment found 28.5% or 460,000 red snapper died after catch and release. Most fishermen appear to be on board with the new rule, which still needs federal approval before going into effect. Education efforts have been underway to increase awareness of barotrauma. The devices could cost as much as $50, or people can simply make their own. Lita Cunningham is a marine life manager at the Pew Charitable Trusts.
This new measure addresses a serious problem that frustrates fishermen and is harming some of our most important fish populations. Millions of fish die needlessly during catch and release, and saving many of them by using an inexpensive, easy-to-use device means we're helping our ocean ecosystems while also boosting future fish opportunities.
McCauley says Florida's and other state agencies will continue to encourage anglers to use devices until they become mandatory. Some marine supply manufacturers have also formed partnerships with state and federal agencies to promote best fishing practices through the Fish Smart Conservation Project. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For Public News Service, I'm Tramell Gomes.
Are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rising Up with Sonali at 6. At 7, it's The Struggle. The weather tonight will be a low of 48 with a 50% chance of rain, and tomorrow it will be a low of 45 and a high of 47 with a 40% chance of rain. Today in history, it's National Gay Men's HIV and AIDS Awareness Day to remove the stigma of HIV and AIDS among the gay community. Today recognizes that this is a disease that affects all human beings, but disproportionately affects the gay community largely due to the stigma around being gay. The quote of the day is from Australian Olympian Jai Wallace. When he came out as HIV positive, he said, quote, Being seen does have value. A voice does have value. I have the support of my boyfriend, my great friends, and my loving parents. Many do not, and this, in part, is for them.
With the coal industry decline and layoffs in the U.S., many workers are looking to transition to other job fields. States like North Dakota are discussing possible next steps. Eric Tagadoff has more on this story.
Towns in coal country are considering what happens next as companies and the fuel hit hard times. Next week, the North Dakota mining town of Beulah hosts the Building Resilience in Coal Country Community Forum, featuring speakers with knowledge on economic diversification, revitalization, and rural planning. Jack Morgan is with the National Association of Counties, studying how communities can work through economic stresses. Morgan says it's important for communities to invest in their place, such as natural landscapes and even the recreation economy, as well as infrastructure such as broadband internet, and also in the workforce and related sectors for dislocated workers.
Coal-reliant communities really have a sense of self-reliance and grit, and they're equipped with that grit to bounce back from anything.
Morgan adds that communities planning for the future should have a diverse group of stakeholders at the table, consider how to keep young people in communities, and study non-traditional economic development. The forum starts at 7 p.m. October 3rd at the Beulah Civic Center. It will include an open discussion with community members. Kelly Romer is a PhD student at Montana State University who has researched transitioning coal communities in the West. She says they need to address tax revenue replacement, link reclamation activities to workforce opportunities, and be open and willing to address change. She says there also should be an onus on the society at large, including local, state, and federal governments, to offer help, considering how these communities have supported the nation.
Many of these communities supplied energy that supported the growth of our urban centers and our country for the